for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, May the 23rd, 2009. Carla Batod is the speaker of this service teaching on Lying Spirit.
Thank you, Lake Hamilton, for letting me come. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this afternoon's word that's going to come forth. Father, I ask that you would help me to deliver it. I ask that you would send mighty warring angels at the close of this teaching, Lord, to assist in deliverance, Father. For as the more we empty out, the more you can pour yourself into us, and we will be able to do the works that you want us to do. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this afternoon, I'm going to be talking about the lying spirit. In Proverbs 6:16, it says, "These six doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, an abomination unto him." And that word abomination means that it is deemed filthy and detestable. An abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. And in Jeremiah 17:10, the Lord says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the conscience, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So that can be a serious thing. Feet that are swift in running into mischief. A false witness speaking lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Now the two out of these seven, and in a little bit I'll talk about a third one that could possibly fall in with the lying spirit. But two of those, of the seven, the lying tongue and a false witness speaking lies. The definition of the word lie from the Strong's Concordance in the Old Testament, the root is to cheat, to be untrue, usually in words, a sham. In the New Testament, the meaning means to utter an untruth or attempt to deceive by falsehood. And in the Webster Dictionary, it's the same as all of that, with this added, to create a false impression. The word spirit, by resemblance, it means spirit, but only of a rational being, including its expression and functions. And we'll talk more about the spirit itself in a little bit. Proverbs 12:17. "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." 12:19. "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Verse 20, "Deceit is in the heart of those who imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace there is joy." Verse 22, "Lying lips are an abomination," there's that word again, "to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Now these abominations, there are a list in the Bible of what abominations are. I'm not going to list all of them, but a few of them are homosexuality, bestiality, incest, and bowing to idols. Now, we would never think of doing any of those, but how easily a lie will roll off of our tongues, even as Christians. And the lying spirit is something that is very much alive and well in the world today. We are told that in the end times, the lying spirit is going to be a major role player. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Proverbs 13:5, "A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame." Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Psalm 101:7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. Now, a false witness is one that slays and slanders and falsely accuses a person. Now, that's where hands that shed innocent blood may fall into this lying spirit. Because when you are a false witness against somebody, are you not shedding innocent blood? It's like murdering a person. And if it's a false witness, then it's not true. And so the person that you're speaking being a false witness against, it's like shedding innocent blood. It's very serious. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 5. That scripture said, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. Now I want to show you an instance in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5. Now, I've said before, teaching on different subjects, that I believe that the end times, that we are going to return to the days as it was in the days of the new church, when the church first began, and this is what happened in the beginning. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also knowing of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, up in verse 34, it says that they all brought all things in common and laid it at the apostles' feet. These were people whose heart was truly in the work of the church. Okay, so Ananias and Sapphira want to be considered among those whose hearts were truly in the church. But they sold a piece of property, but they decided at home, just amongst themselves, nobody else around, that they were only going to bring a certain price and lay it at their feet. Not the whole price. We're going to keep some of this back for ourselves. Okay. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Can you imagine how he felt? Because Peter received a word of knowledge that they had actually sold it for more than what they were reporting that it was sold for. Right? Okay. So that is deception. And they decided on this in the privacy of their own home. But God revealed it to Peter. Now, if we thought that we could walk into a meeting where the power of God is in action, and something like that about ourselves would be exposed, we would be afraid to come into the meeting house. But I believe the days are coming as God begins to separate the sheep. I say the sheep from the sheep. Because see, we're all sheep, but then there are sheep. And then there are also the goats. But as Brother Bill said this morning, God is raising up a remnant. And in that remnant is going to be a holy people. And we need to purge all iniquity from us. Okay, so Peter says to Ananias, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So the money, all the money was theirs. They didn't have to give it all. They were free to give whatever they wanted to give. But they wanted to be thought of as all the rest of the church. So that's really, it's deception. They presented themselves as something that they were not. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died. And I believe the days are coming that when we let a lie roll off of our tongue, that we're going to be held accountable for it right then. The days of mercy, God winking at our sin, I think those days are over. It's time to get serious. It's time to get real with God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." Now, right there, she had an opportunity to tell the truth. She had an opportunity. She was given opportunity to come clean. But she stuck with the lie. She was more loyal to the agreement she made with her husband than she was to the man of God. Then Peter said unto her, and she said, "Yes, for that much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them who have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down immediately at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now look at verse 13. I thought this was interesting. And the rest dared no man join himself to them. See, when you know that you have iniquity in your life and you see that kind of thing happen, you're going to stand back. You're not going to join yourself to them. But the people magnified them. So the church, the remnant, in other words, the true church, those whose hearts were with the move of God, the people who were afraid of them because of what happened, magnified them. But they wouldn't go join themselves to them because, you know, who knows, they might drop dead. And what if the Lord came to us today and said, the very next time that you lie, your life will be required? Well, we would be a little more serious about everything that we say. Everything. So, I'll go on. Proverbs 19:9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall perish. Revelation 21:27. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no way, speaking about heaven, the new Jerusalem, and there shall in no way enter into it anything that defileth, neither he that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now flip over to 21:8. Brother Bill read this morning. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. It's interesting. I'll ask a question like of one of my children, two of which are in rebellion right now. But you can ask them a question, and it just requires a yes or a no. Yay, yay, or nay, nay. But they'll say, no, because, la, 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 la. And it's a lie. So let your answer be yay, yay, or nay, nay, because whatever comes after that is of evil. And it's just amazing that we think we owe an explanation, and we don't want to say what the truth is, so we just let a lie roll off of our tongues. It's a very serious thing. And why is it serious? Look at John 8. John 8, starting at verse 40. Jesus is having a discussion with the Pharisees. he says, if you were Abraham's children, because they said, we are, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convicted me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear not, because ye are not of God. So see, he's telling them that if they belong to God, they would hear him. But he says, you cannot hear my word because you're not of God. You are of your father, the devil. And he is the father of lies. All lies. And so when we allow a lie to come out of our mouths, out of our heart, really, an evil heart, we are really serving Satan in that moment. And that's a serious thing. Satan is a murderer. There is no truth in him. So when we speak an untruth, a lie, we are submitting to Satan in that moment. He says, you cannot hear my word because you are of your father the devil, who is a liar. So when you lie, it can affect your hearing. You won't be able to hear God because there's lies in your life. And the Pharisees, the problem they had is that they were continuing in the traditions of their fathers. They were more loyal to the traditions of their father than they were to the truth. And I know people. I used to not know people, but I have met people in my walk that would agree, or they would side with their family in a lie instead of going with the truth. You know that old saying, blood is thicker than water? Well, I've learned that blood is thicker even than the truth. For some. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 16, because see, this tradition thing can be a problem even in our lives. And I'm going to show you how. Jeremiah chapter 16, starting at verse 15. But the Lord liveth, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt from them, from every mountain, and from every hill, and out of the clefts of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, neither is their iniquity hidden from mine eyes. See, that's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Their ways were not hidden from God. And we lie to ourselves if we think we can hide from God in our iniquity. Mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, neither is their iniquity hidden from mine eyes. At first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the nations shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity in which there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So see, they will say, our fathers have inherited lies. And they stuck to the tradition. They were more interested in their tradition than they were Jesus, who was bringing them truth and salvation and liberty. But they stuck to their traditions. And a lot of people will hang on to the traditions of their fathers and reject the truth. And there are consequences for that. It's called ancestral worship, if you want to know what it is. Ancestral worship. They worship the ancestors, the ways of the ancestors, the gods of the ancestors. And so lying is a serious thing. And sometimes we have passed down certain lies to our children. So we don't want this spirit of lying. It's going to play a huge part in the end times. Now, there are two ways that I want us to look at the lying spirit. The lying spirit that works towards you, and that's the one that's going to be so prevalent in the end times and is in the world already. It works towards us. Lies being spoken. And then there are those that are working in you. The lying spirit that works in you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and we're in those latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, I did a teaching on seducing spirits a couple of years ago, and when I was doing that study, what became clear to me is that it's not the fact that people will depart from the faith that will cause them to heed these seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It will be that they will heed the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons that will cause them to fall away from the faith. So we have to be very careful about this lying spirit, seducing spirits. And that word, seducing spirit, seducing means misleading or deceiving, which is lies. So there are going to be lies being imparted, you know, to us, but we have to be really praying for God to give us spirits of discernment so that we can know the difference between the truth and a lie. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute too. Doctrine is an instruction, and demons are bad supernatural spirits. You know, there is the supernatural that comes from God, but there's also the supernatural that comes from demons. And so we need to be careful not to be deceived by bad supernatural spirits. And we're seeing some of those things taking place in different parts of the nation. Okay, it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, you know, we all know what seared is. We know what the word seared is. But I've learned to look up the words, because sometimes what I understand the word seared to mean isn't exactly what it meant in the Greek, in the New Testament meaning. But it sort of is, but the definition of seared is exposure to sudden blast of intense heat. And I thought, what a great definition for the word conviction. You know, when your conscience is seared, that means when that sudden blast of intense heat of conviction came at you the moment you sinned, and you know it. I mean, the Holy Ghost will convict you just like that, and it almost feels like a sudden intense blast of heat on your soul. And that is there to cause us to repent for whatever it is we just did. But there are things taking place in our lives, and we will feel that sudden blast and we ignore it. And when that happens, you know, you may feel it the first time, but you don't respond in the correct way. You don't turn away from whatever it was that you did. You don't repent of it. And then the next time that sudden blast comes again and you don't respond in the way you should. And after a little while, your heart is covered with scar tissue. So that the tenderness, the sensitivity to God and to the right thing becomes hardened. And you get a hardened heart. And then you're able to just continue in that sin with no conviction at all. There's no guilt. There's no sorrow. There's no repentance. And we're coming to the days where we better repent quickly or we'll suffer the consequences. Turn to Revelation 2. Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he is commending them at first for these things. He said, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. And thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience and hast for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will quickly come unto thee, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." So see, you're at risk of losing your candlestick, which is your light, which is the presence of God in your life. So we need to quickly repent whenever we do these things that we know are wrong. And I thought it was interesting that one of the things that he was commended for was that you tried those who called themselves apostles, but they were not. They were liars. So see, we can see that we're going to have false apostles and false prophets in the church. And we are beginning to see some exposed. You know, the hypocrisy, one of my sons used the term. I'd never heard it before. It made me laugh. He called them, you know, they're one of those hypocristians. Yeah. I said, what? A hypocristian? He said, yeah, you know, those Christians that call themselves Christians, but they're hypocrites. And, you know, out where I live, there's a lot of old-timers who think, you don't need to go to church. I can go out in the woods and commune on a stump. You know, I don't need to go to church. God can talk to me on a stump. Well, the reason they don't want to go to church is because it's full of hypocrites. And you know what? I used to be a hypocrite. I was. In the early days of my Christianity, I was very eager to be in the church. I was very eager to offer my services. And I got so involved in works, but it wasn't real. It didn't come from a true heart of love of God and a desire to serve Him. It was just working, you know, wanting to present myself to the church someone that I really was not. I knew how to behave at church. You know, I would teach the children, and I could be so patient with them and loving, and then I'd get in the car to go home, and I'm screaming at mine in the back seat. I mean, really. And God convicted me. I mean, he one by one, every work that I was involved in, he took me out of it. And one day I thought, Lord, I just don't understand this. The first year all my kids went to school, Lord, I've got more time to do for you than I ever have, and you've taken me out of everything. What's up with that? So I heard this prayer come out of my mouth. Well, Lord, while I'm sitting here doing nothing, I just will use this time to draw closer to you, and I want you to teach me how to really love my husband and children. And I went, what? What did I say? You know, the Holy Ghost can pray through you in English, too. And that was a shock. Because then I started trying to defend myself to him. Well, I love my husband and children. I mean, I, I, I cook and I clean and all these things. And he said, that's just mechanics. Anybody can do that. And then he said, I am pleased that you want to serve me, but you've got to get it right in your home first. That's what he means when he says, beginning at Jerusalem. That's home. Then you can go out. And he said, be a witness. Don't just go out and witness, but be a witness. It's got to be real. Before you can go out and give to others, it's got to be real. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. You know what that word means? It is an actor under an assumed character. That's exactly what I was. I was an actor under the assumed character of a Christian. But I was a hypocrite because it wasn't real. And so God had to make it real. It means to speak or act under a false part. So we can allow, you know, we can talk a good talk. But if, you know, if someone followed you around all the time, would they see the walk that you talk? Because otherwise, it's a lie. And God doesn't want us to live a lie. He wants us to live in truth and in honesty. So the spirit of lying can work in a person and cause them to just be a compulsive liar. And this is a spirit that can come down through family lines. You know, you have a kid that lies, well, he's just like his daddy's been a liar all of his life. No. But see, these spirits can follow through the bloodline. And so, you know, I heard a teaching once on children, they're born liars. They'll cry for no reason at all. They're not hungry, they're not dirty, they're not wet, they're not, you know, they're just going to cry. And make you think something's wrong, and there's nothing wrong. And I even found a scripture. I was looking for it earlier. I decided not to use it, and then I thought, yeah, I'm going to use that. We're born liars. We are born in sin. And that's the whole ball of wax. We've got it all. And then there is the lying spirit that works as a disembodied entity. And it works outside a person. Now, I'm going to show you in the scripture. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 18. 2 Chronicles 18. I never have really, you know, I've read these scriptures and they're kind of mysterious to me. I can't shed any understanding on it, but it does show where this particular spirit is working. If I can find 2 Chronicles. Okay, 2 Chronicles 18. Okay. In verse, okay, I'm going to give you kind of a condensed version of what goes on in this chapter. The king of Judah, who was Jehoshaphat, partnered up with the king of Israel, who was Ahab, and they were going to go to battle against Ramoth Gilead. Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, "Let's inquire of the Lord, you know, whether we should go to this battle or not." So Ahab calls together his 400 prophets, and they prophesied victory. Now, all of these guys must have been on the payroll because they were kind of yes men. Jehoshaphat says, "No, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of?" See, they were even imposters. These 400 prophets were imposters. So Ahab says again, well, Ahab says, well, there is one. His name is Micaiah, but I hate him. He always prophesies evil. I thought that was funny. I hate him because he always prophesies evil unto me. So they call for Micaiah. And interestingly, and I don't understand why he does this, at first he says what the other 400 did and said, go, you will have victory. And the king says, tell me the truth. And then Micaiah says, he saw the Lord on the throne with the host around him, inquiring of the host. Now look at verse 20. This is the verse that I need you to see. So Micaiah says that he inquires of the Lord, and he sees the Lord and the host all around him, and the Lord is discussing with the host. And then, and one says this and another says that, but then it says in verse 20, then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, by what means? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So there is the lying spirit. It was a spirit. The spirit came and stood. So this was a disembodied spirit. Now, in us, you know, a spirit wants a body because then it can do its deeds. But this is a spirit that is in the spirit realm. If our spiritual eyes would be opened, we would see many spirits in this room. We would see many angels and we would see many demons in this room. And this is what happened. Micaiah saw the Lord and he saw all the spirits around him. And it was going to be a lying spirit. Now, I had an experience with this lying spirit. And the spirit, even though we can't see it, okay, the definition that I gave you at the first of the spirit, it says by resemblance, spirit, but only of a rational being, including its expression and functions. So this was a disembodied spirit, but it came and it stood and it said. So there you have its functions and its expressions. If you'll remember, in Matthew chapter 12, it says, when an unclean spirit leaves a man, it goes about and it walks about in dry places. It walks, it talks, because it said, I will go back to the house that I came out of. It said, I will go back to the house. It has a will. The spirits have a will. And they have, and they can take action, because he said, he's going to go back and he's going to take seven others with him. He went out and got them. So he has cooperation with other spirits. And so one day, my daughter was visiting, she and her little girl. She's not married. She's unfortunately cohabitating with a man unmarried, like so many in the world today. And she and her daughter were visiting. And she is also in rebellion. So sometimes we get along famously and other times we don't get along at all. And this happened to be a period of time where we weren't getting along very well. And so I was trying to keep the peace and I go to the stairway and I'm calling up to her because I'm going to fix breakfast. I want to ask her if she wants some breakfast. So I just very quietly go to the stairway and call her name, Katie. No answer, but I had heard her walking around upstairs, so I knew she was awake. So I said it a little louder, Katie, and all of a sudden I hear, stop, stop, stop. And she comes to the opening, and she goes, why are you always yelling at me? Can't you ever just talk at the regular? And I was like, okay, well, I didn't even react to it, because I know that that is the demon. So I just kept my cool, and I said, I just wanted to know if you wanted some breakfast. Oh, no, I'm not hungry. So she goes back to her room. So I walk over to the sink and I said, Lord, what in the world was that? And he said to me so clearly, there is a lying spirit that stands between you and her. And he catches your words and then he interprets them to her in a false manner. That's why she heard me in a scream. That's what put me on the trail of this lying spirit. That was 4 years ago. I'm thinking, wow, there is something to this. And I begin to watch for that lying spirit and how it causes discord among the brethren. Because you can say something to somebody, and if there's a lying spirit at work, it'll catch your words and say it in a manner that's totally false. You ever had said something to somebody just like I did with my daughter, and their reaction is like, goofball? What on earth? And if you're not aware of it, you'll take it personally. If you're not aware of it, you'll get offended. And then you have a sin to deal with. So it's a very interesting spirit, the lying spirit. It stood in front of Jesus and said, I will go and be a lying spirit in their mouth. Okay, so later that day, she came downstairs and things were okay. And I said, I want to tell you something really interesting the Lord showed me this morning. And I told her about the lying spirit. Okay, so she goes back to her house and she's waking up the man to go to work. And she goes to the bedroom and she says, hey, it's time to get up. She goes back in the kitchen to finish making his lunch and she goes back the second time. Hey, you're going to be late. It's time to get up. And he came flying out of the bed. Why are you always screaming at me? Can't you wake me up? And blah, 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 blah. And she called me later that day and she said, Mama, remember that lying spirit you told me about? I said, yeah. She said, it's here. And it is, and it's alive and well, like an interpreter. And it's working, it can be working between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your children, you and your pastor. So be watchful. I want you to be very aware of this lying spirit and be watchful. Now, can we see the lying spirit? No, we only see his work. And it's important, even, I think, as Brother Beal said this morning, his message really excited. It reignited something in me that's been there a long time. But it is time that we begin to address these things. And God told me 2 years ago, stop being polite to the devil. And I was like, what? Yes, you're too polite to the devil. So I am really getting bold in addressing these things. Now, if I were to say something to Nathan and that happened, and I didn't see it, but if it's a goofball response or an unnatural response, then know that the lying spirit has been at work and just talk to it. It's a disembodied thing. We can't see it with our physical eyes. Our spirit man is very limited by our flesh. Because I believe if we could see in the spirit, we would be able to see all around us. And Clement Humboldt one time said here that a friend of his was an astronaut, and when he was on the moon, he could see 360 degrees. I'm like sitting over there going, what? But I really believe that now. And there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the spirits that have eyes all around. They have eyes all around. And so shortly after that, I was at home watering my grass one day, and Mike was going to sneak up on me and crimp the hose. He just likes to see me go. But he squatted down, and he had the hose like this, and at that very moment, I went like that and turned around. And he was just, he could not believe, what made you look? I said, I don't know. But I wondered if my spirit man didn't see him. You know, my flesh man was watering the grass. But why did I turn around? You know, later I thought, what did make me turn around? I didn't feel him pull the hose or anything, but I just turned around. I just said, I know things. But you know, we can know things in the spirit. We can know things in the spirit. And one of my prayers for this day that we're living in is, Lord, teach me how to walk and live and move in my spirit man. The Word says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So, there are some things I'm battling with in my flesh. And I'm going to tell you about that one in a minute. Okay, so the lying spirit stands between you and others, captures your words like an interpreter. Like if I was given this in a foreign language and there was an interpreter over here, he could be saying anything. I wouldn't know what he was saying. So he interprets your words, and it's deception. He relays them in a false manner to cause hurt, division, discord, deception. He's a liar. Okay? Then there is a lying spirit that will try to get you to receive the lie. And I'm going to show you that one and how we should respond to it. 1 Samuel 17. Because at one time, I was really being bombarded with a lying spirit that was trying to instill fear. It was telling me that, you know, business had gotten really bad, and we were way behind in many of our bills. And this lying spirit was telling me, I don't know what it was telling Mike, but it was telling me that you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your business, you're going to, you know, you won't have any place to live, and fear and anxiety and all these things were bombarding. And one night the Lord gave me a dream about David and Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Okay, in the story of David and Goliath, now y'all remember David was, he was just, you know, the youngest brother. Here was the whole army, the Philistines and the, is it the Israelites? Was it the Israelites? Okay. And so David decided that he was going to take this giant on. And it says in verse 42, 17:42, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Now he criticized him, you know, called him names. He belittled him. "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now, in this dream, Goliath was Satan. And when I read this, it became very clear to me that Goliath was representing Satan in this story. And he says, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now, that's what the lying spirit is going to do to you. Satan is the liar and the father of all lies. And he's going to come to you at different times in your life, depending on what you're doing, what God's calling you to do, or whatever you're facing in your life, and he's going to tell you lies. He'll tell you lies. You'll never make it. You're not going to succeed. You're going to fail. You'll never have children. You're a crummy parent. I mean, he's just, that's his job, y'all. And he's good at it. "Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now this is how we should treat the lying spirit. He threatened David. Did David care? No. Listen, God is for you. If he is for you, who can be against you? So we should turn around and tell that lying spirit that talks in your ear, that is trying to instill fear, that is threatening you, that's trying to make you sit down and stop and give up and all the rest. That's how we should treat him. He's a liar. So when he comes, I've learned that when he comes and says, "You're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your business," I will not. Because if he's a liar, then the opposite is the truth. You just start praising God for the opposite of whatever he's telling you. Because he's a liar. And if the opposite of what he's telling you is the truth, then he's just trying to make you think that it's not going to happen. So I just rain on his parade, and I start praising God for whatever he says is not going to happen. He hates that. Thank you, Lord, my children are coming back. Thank you, they're going to be serving God. You know, when those doubts come, that's what you have to do. Because really, what Goliath wanted David to do was to believe Goliath. And if he had, he would have been whipped right there. He would have been whipped. I don't know. I've never had a question asked. That statement that she made is totally out of fear. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll think about that. Okay. So the lying spirit will lie to you and try to get you to believe the lie. Okay, then there is a lying spirit that will cause you to lie to yourself, and then you believe the lie. My instance with that is, you know, now that I'm, you know, used to, if I got a little overweight, man, it didn't take any time at all to get that weight off. Well, that doesn't happen after you hit menopause. Everything changes. And so it's harder to lose weight, and it's harder to keep the weight off. You can't eat the same way you used to eat. It just starts packing on. So, you know, you get in a larger size, and then you have to go to a larger size of clothing. And so one day it just really hits you. Oh, my goodness. You know, you get out of the bathtub and you see yourself like, oh, my gosh. You know? And then you're thinking, I have got to, you know, I am going on a diet. That is it. I'm not going, you know, all these things. And you are totally convinced. And then you get dressed, you go, I don't look too bad. That's a lying spirit. And I know, you liar. But that's how it works. You know, you get dressed, you don't look that bad. So then, you're going to cut out sweets. Well, it won't hurt you to have one donut. Or what will hurt you to have one chocolate chip cookie, but you know you're not going to stop with one. You're going to eat the whole pack. Or, you know, too many anyway. But see, that's a lying spirit. So be watchful for that one too. He'll lie to you, and then you believe the lie. So watch for that one. Okay? And then there is the lying spirit, and this is the process. The lying spirit, and God has made me very aware recently of thoughts. Because one day I had a thought, and it was the absolute answer to the problem that I was having. And I told it to Mike, I just had a thought. Well, naughty, naughty, naughty. I mean, I have lots of thoughts, but but it was the thought that was the answer to my problem. I just had a thought, and I told him what the thought was. And later, I realized that that was not my thought. I've been seeking God for the solution. And that was not my thought. It was God. God gave me his thought about the problem. It was his thought, not my thought. But in the same respect, you can have a thought that is not a good thought, an evil thought, or you hear that line, that lie that instills fear or doubt or mistrust or whatever. It may come in the form of a whisper. There's nobody there, but it enters your ear, the lie. And then you think about it. The thought enters your mind, and it's not from God, but it's from the devil, the father of all lies. So you have this thought, and you think it's your thought, but it's not your thought. It's been projected by the enemy. Okay? So then you ponder the thought. You entertain the thought, and then whatever the response is, if it instills fear, or, and that's usually the one that he's trying to put into you, is fear or doubt or unbelief. When you ponder it and you think on it, then it stirs up what he's wanting to stir up. And then it has a chemical reaction in your brain. Because when you are fearful, your brain begins to secrete chemicals that you're going to need to react to the fear, right? So you have a chemical reaction. The chemical reaction in your brain causes a change to take place in your flesh, and it becomes a feeling. Starts with a thought, then it becomes a feeling, and when you have the feeling, it confirms the thought, right? It affects the flesh, which confirms the thought. Then you begin to confess the thought or the feeling. You know, when I talk with people that are having problems and they're wanting help, it's always like, well, I just feel like, and I just feel like, and it makes me feel like, you know, and all you're hearing is all these feelings, you know? And that's where they come from, the thought. Let's go back, you know, what's causing this feeling? It began with a thought that was projected by the enemy. So then when you start confessing the feeling, you're coming into agreement with your flesh and with the lie, the thought that was projected there. So now you have two parts of you that are agreeing with Satan. And you've got a threefold cord thing going on. And then it becomes a stronghold. You see how that works? Okay, so in this, I gained a new understanding of 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, that's not a hard thing to do, but we must begin to be aware of the thoughts that come to us, whether they be of God or not. So what are we going to do with those thoughts when they come? 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians. This is a very much used scripture. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I loved it that we sang that song. They sang this song before the meeting. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, but they are mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. See, and sometimes we just think we're just imagining these things. No, it's an absolute purposeful projection from the enemy. It's when we entertain that thought that it becomes, our imagination gets involved and carries us away. So you have to cast down the imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, here it is. Test not, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. So that's where you have to stop and think, okay, is this thought in line with God's Word? Is this thought in line with God's Word? And if it's not, it says, and bringing into captivity every thought, there it is. You've got to bring that thought into captivity the minute it comes into your mind. Because if you entertain it, then it's going to get involved with your flesh. It's going to become a feeling, which is going to become a confession, which is going to become a stronghold. And it'll just bring you right down in a spiral. You know, people who commit suicide, it started with a thought. Nobody loves you. Nobody would care if you were gone. You may as well just kill yourself. I mean, that's how it works. And if you don't captivate that thought immediately, you're going to find yourself in a bad place. And you bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, which means the Word. You bring it in obedience to the Word. And that's why it is so important to know the Word of God. Hosea 4:6 says, my people, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, you can't bring it into captivity, into the obedience of Christ if you don't know. if you don't know what he says. And in these days, we best be in the Word and know the Word. We're going to be judged not by the lies we've been told or that we've lived by. We're going to be judged by the truth. John 8:31 says, if you continue in my Word, there it is. If you continue in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Seek truth. Walk in the truth. So that we, as it says in Ephesians 4:14, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. And we're going to do that by the truth of the Word. Okay, so now we're going to deal with the lying spirit. Y'all ready? First, we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. So just, I want you to repeat this prayer. Father, forgive me for lying, for participating with the spirit of lying, for being a liar, for all the lies I've ever told, for the times I've exaggerated, for being deceptive by telling only part of the truth. Forgive me for repeating things about others that I don't know to be the truth, for shedding innocent blood, for being a false witness. Forgive me for the times that I've believed lies and that has caused me not to be able to hear you. Forgive me for not only lying to others, but lying to your Holy Ghost. Forgive me for lying to my husband or my wife, to my children, my boss, my friends, co-workers, my pastor, and myself. Forgive me of hypocrisy. Forgive me for presenting myself as something or somebody that I'm not. Forgive me for having been an imposter. I now forgive all those who have lied to me or who have lied about me. Now, Father, restore in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Okay, now y'all just, I'm going to take authority over these spirits. And so I just want you to, as Brother Jim said last night, don't be praying in tongues, you know, while this is going on. You just participate with the deliverance. Frank Marzullo used to say we're having a coming out party. And he would forbid demons to put on a show. You come out quietly on the breath when you're instructed. So you just take deep breath and blow it out. And if anything follows, fine, let it out. Don't hold it in. Okay? So right now, Father, I take authority over the lying spirit in Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of lying. In Jesus' name, I bind you and I command you to go now. All lying, the lying tongue, the lying lips, the lying mouth, the forked tongue, the perverse spirit, all spirits that change the truth for a lie, all spirits of perversion, the unclean spirits, I bind you and command you to go now. All unclean, filthy, detestable spirits, in Jesus' name. All seducing spirits, all spirits of deception, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. All deceiving others, and deceiving your own self, I bind you and command you to go. Take a deep breath and just blow it out. All stretching the truth, spirits of stretching the truth, exaggerating, diminishing the truth, covering the truth, all twisting of words, all storytelling. In Jesus' name, I bind you and command you to go. All spirits of deception, all the mask of deception, wearing a mask, being an imposter, not being real, not being truthful, in Jesus' name. All spirits of hypocrisy, go in Jesus' name. The spirit of the hypocrite, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of delusion. All spirits of delusion. Delusions of grandeur, thinking of yourself as something that you're not, in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of believing the lies, in Jesus' name. Preferring lies to the truth, speaking lies, loving lies, loving darkness over light, in Jesus' name. All spirits of darkness, go, in Jesus' name. I come against gossiping spirits, all talebearer spirits, all slandering spirits, whisperers, all murdering spirits, character assassination, go in Jesus' name. All plotting or vain imaginations, go in the name of Jesus. I come against, I bind all biting and devouring spirits, the critical spirit. Self-righteousness, all spirits of self-righteousness and judging, all busybody spirits, going from one to another in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of error, false teachings, false prophecies, false prophets in Jesus' name, all spirits of the false prophet, winds of doctrines in Jesus' name, all false doctrines, doctrines of demons. I come against all the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. I come against cunning craftiness in Jesus' name. All lies and deceit in Jesus' name. I bind all lying and deceit in Jesus' name. I come against all bondage from error. All bondage from error. Teachings of error. All spiritual deafness caused by lying, the lying spirit. I come against all spiritual deafness. I command the ears to be open to the truth in Jesus' name. I speak to spiritual blindness. I command the spiritual eyes to be open and discerning spirits to be released so that we can discern the truth from a lie in Jesus' name. All spirits of darkness, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of darkness. Lack of understanding, I bind you and command you to go. I release understanding in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I come against all occult spirits, all witchcraft spirits, all antichrist spirits. Antichrist hates the truth. The spirits of antichrist hate the truth. So I bind all antichrist spirits. I come against ancestor worship. All ancestor worship, go. Being more loyal to your family than you are to God. More loyal to lies than you are the truth. I come against all inherited lies. Lies that were inherited. The spirit of lying that came down through the family line. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All that blood is thicker than water and blood is thicker than the truth. I break that right now in Jesus' name. I come against family loyalty. In the name of Jesus, I come against all oaths and loyalty to religions, the religious spirit. I bind all religious spirits and command you to go in Jesus' name. All religious spirits, that fake spirit, a spirit of doing works and not having a heart for God. I come against all spirits that came down through cultural lines in Jesus' name. Lying spirits, deception. All lying spirits. I come against all oaths that were made by your ancestors. I understand Jerry covered a lot of that, and I'm glad of that, because there are a lot of oaths that are taken by our forefathers that will cause a spirit of deception to come into us. That's a dangerous thing. I come against all religious spirits, all racial spirits in Jesus' name that came down through our races, that came down through our cultures, organizations and clubs in Jesus' name, all brotherhoods, firemen and policemen, that they will lie for their brothers because they take an oath. And so I just come against oaths that were taken in Jesus' name, occupational oaths, like the doctors take oaths, and just about everything that you get into. Lawyers take an oath. There's all kinds of oaths that will bring curses into our lives. Lying for family members. Repent if you have lied for family members. And I bind that spirit of lying in Jesus' name. If you've ever been in jail, boy, there's a loyalty to your jail buddy in Jesus' name. I break all jail buddy spirits in Jesus' name. Lying on the witness stand, lying about your age, lying about your weight, lying about your marital status in Jesus' name. I come against all lying spirits. And one of the definitions was to cheat. Now, you don't think about you cheat on a test that you're lying, but it's a lie. So, you know, I won't speak for everybody else, but I cheated on a test one time. I had all the, you know, in school they would have these multiple choice tests. So they would, the first class, the first period would get the test, and then they would tell us what the answers were. So you'd have a D, D, A, E, you know, all these things. And I got turned in. Somebody saw it on my hand and turned me in. And so I was made to stand out in the hall for the rest of the test and flunked it. And they called my daddy, and here's what my daddy said to me. How would you like to show up for surgery one day and find out your doctor cheated his way through medical school? So, wow, I wouldn't want that. So I come against all spirits of cheating. Cheating in school, cheating on your job, cheating in your marriage, cheating on your income taxes, cheating on your tithe. All spirits of cheating, I bind you right now and command you to go. And repent of those things if you did it. I come against the seared conscience for not repenting quickly. I come against that seared conscience right now. I strip away the scar tissue that was formed from not repenting over and over again. I come against the stony heart. In Jesus' name, I bind and break that stony heart. Lord, restore to us a heart of flesh. Lord, let us be quick to repent when we feel that blast of hot fire of conviction in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I release a spirit of truth on the people, a spirit of truth, a spirit of honesty and honor, virtue and integrity, a love of the truth, a love of God, a love of righteousness in Jesus' name. And Lord, now I just ask you to bless the people. Lord, let these words ring for a long time in our ears. Father, we might know the seriousness of allowing a lie to roll off of our tongue. Lord, if we would be held accountable as Ananias and Sapphira were for lying. And it's not, you're not just lying to somebody else. You're lying to God. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, we just thank you. I ask you to bless each one of us. And I ask you to bless the food that we are about to partake of. And, Lord, we just give you thanks and glory and honor today for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.